Welcome back, everybody. This is part two of the very beginning of the Tale of the Light Side, which so far has involved a lot of tentacles. Tentacles and goo.
Just like any good anime. Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, thankfully, though, Cass, you burst up out of the water, take up a deep breath of humid Jagomir air, and you see your friends kind of rushing to help you. Now, while that's happening, we've moved over into combat. So in combat, like with a lot of role-playing games, we use an initiative system to determine who's going when. But it's a little bit more freeform than Dungeons & Dragons. You don't roll your own initiative. You roll an initiative slot for the group. So if you look at the turn order, it shows four PC slots and one NPC slot. And we assess how good you did at your initiative roll by looking first at how many successes you got, and then second by how many advantages you got to help break ties. So y'all did great. In the event of a tie between an NPC and a PC, the PC always goes. So all four of you get to go before the Dianoga gets to attack again. And you as a group get to decide what order you go in. So all that matters is that each of you get to go, then it goes, then anybody else can go. You can't go twice in the same initiative pass, and but you can go at the end and the beginning. So once we roll over, so it could be like a PC, the NPC, and then the first PC could be the same person. So who's the first person to act once the order starts? You don't have a clear sight of the Dianoga, but if you wanted to on your first turn, someone could spot it for someone else, or they could take their turn looking for it.
Zed, I think you're closest.
Well, so it's like bubbled like underwater. Am I underwater yet? Like, am I submerged or am I?
You're standing up to your waist or your knees in water. It seems to be like you can stand in most places, but the Dianoga seems to be using sinks or like tunnels or something under the water to like pull people down into deeper areas. But assume that you can stand and walk around wherever you need to.
Okay, and am I within grabbing range of Kel?
Kess? Yeah. Kess. And I'm actually going to move. I'm going to move everybody over. There we go.
And can you? It would be easier if you changed your name in the.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I have to change that on the actual Roll20 sheet or the website, right?
In your profile.
Yeah, you change it in my settings.
You just go in the gear and it's a display name. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to put a display. Oh. I'm going to put a nameplate on everybody's. Everybody's character as well. So if you look at the map, you can see under everybody's name.
Perfect.
Got it.
Go.
That is definitely helpful. Yeah.
And go.
Oh, so am I within grabbing range of Kess?
Yeah, you're all within. I guess you're not engaged. You're kind of in short range with each other. And then the Dianoga is kind of somewhere in the middle. So, yeah, like this map isn't a direct representation of like exactly how close you are to each other, but you can get an idea of how distant you are from people who are not in the same kind of range band as you. So, sure. All three of you are at short range with each other, and you can move over and help. You can pick Kess up as your action because she is still prone. That would save her from having to do the same.
Okay. I will do that. And also, Kess, we never discussed like what do I call you. Do I just call you by your name, or do I call you, like...
That would be inappropriate for a droid.
No, I know that. That's why I'm asking.
Master.
I don't think I have a rank.
I mean, you're all part of the New Republic. You're all part of the New Republic military, so you could be, like, lieutenant or sergeant.
Okay.
Or you could just be... Like, everybody else could be their rank. And Zed, I guess the interesting thing is here is, like, does Zed refer to you as master or mistress in the way that most droids refer to their owner? Or have you programmed him to call you something else?
I hadn't thought about that. I don't think master or mistress, because that sounds more of like a dark side thing to me, for him to be referring to me as
3PO called everybody master. Like that's what droids are.
Oh yeah, Master Luke, you're right.
Yeah.
Programmed okay. to call people. So I guess mistress? That sounds kind of awkward.
My lady.
I mean, it is.
What do you call Leia?
It is the female equivalent. It would be Mistress Leia.
How did he refer to Leia? Because I don't think he ever called her Mistress Leia.
He called Princess Leia.
I think he called her Princess. Because that's her title. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess if
Commander,
I could just do like Captain.
Yeah, I mean, or... I don't think that like Tal'ra is not actually a commander. Like, commander's quite high.
Oh, okay.
I think You would probably be a sergeant, if anything.
Okay.
You're all special operatives, so.
Okay, yeah, whatever you feel is, I honestly just hadn't thought about it, so if we want to do sergeant.
Sergeant is appropriate. Okay. Also, Zed, I don't think there are in canon, like in any of the movies, any non-male droids, like 3PO is referred to as a he. Is Zed a he?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. All right, just making sure. Yep. Okay,
cool. Ships are she, droids are he's.
Evidently, yeah. So, so you come on, you come over and help her up. Okay. In combat, you can take one maneuver and perform one action. So the maneuver would be like moving up to engaged. Your action would be like picking her up. You can also spend strain. If you take two strain, you can do another maneuver. This is how you can move around more quickly. Maneuvers allow you to do things like draw weapons, take aim with the weapon, prepare a shot. If you have a rocket launcher that needs preparing, you can see all of that stuff. What maneuvers you can take in the journal under combat reference in the player's handouts.
Okay, perfect. So under that. What I want to do is walk over to her, make sure that she's not drowning anymore, like get her stabilized to her feet or whatever, and then I'll spend the two strain, or excuse me, I'll spend the there's a maneuver and an action. I'll spend the action to light my torch, light my my fusion cutter,
mm-hmm.
and then spend a maneuver to hit it. Spend two strain. So- get a maneuver to hit it.
So maneuvers are moving. The action would be the hit. So it would be like draw a weapon, move and draw a weapon. So you don't want to help. You don't want to help Kessa because that would be your action.
No. Oh, I didn't. I thought maneuver was something you do rather than the action. So action, I will help her. And then, so an action would also count as like lighting my torch up, right?
No, that's a maneuver, but you only get one maneuver and one action. So moving over to her. If you want to spend two strain, you can also ignite your fusion cutter and then it becomes perfect. Like equipped, basically.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to do. Use my maneuver to move over to her, use my action to stabilize her, and then you spend two strain to use a maneuver to light my torch.
Okay, perfect. So mark your strain.
Yep.
So Cass, you burst from the water, and then immediately, Zed is there to help you up, and then your fusion. You hear the familiar.
If I may. Kiss.
Yeah. Please.
You may want to shield your eyes, ma'am. Sergeant.
Go for it.
Awesome.
Go for it, Zed.
So we get this. We get this bright blue flare, which is like a really hard contrast to. And I think like we actually get a lens flare from the camera. It's so bright. And it's in high contrast to all the dull green and gray of the area around you. Talra, if anybody is watching, they'd be able to see that from a pretty good distance. But Zed now has an appropriate weapon for dealing with the Dianoga. Who's going to go next?
I can go next. Now, I'm assuming... Gunner is working her way towards us at this point.
He said he was on his way over to you.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is while Zed is helping Kes up, I'm going to, as my maneuver, I'm going to make sure that I'm not in between Gunner and the enemy, just in case Gunner wants to make a shot. So I'm going to make sure to kind of stay out of that way. And then I'm going to look right where Kes was in the water. And
you wanna
if
try and
I
spot
see
the thing?
Anything, yes, I'm gonna be covering the rest of the team. Basically, if I see anything, I'm either gonna attack it or relay its position to the team.
Okay, perfect. So you're gonna make a perception test against its stealth, and the difficulty of its stealth is. Let me take a look at the Dianoga here. Two red dice. So add two red dice to your pool. And then click perception. Now, if you want to make that less scary, you can spend the one point from the Destiny pool that you have. Let me just make sure the pool is up to date. And then you can, it is. Okay. So you can spend that one light side point and it'll turn one of those red dice into a purple die instead. But then I'll have all the points.
For now, I'm going to hold off on that. I'll let someone else on my team utilize. So someone else can utilize that if I don't, correct?
It's okay, a pool good. Available to anybody, but you only have the one of them until I start spending them.
Okay. Well, I'll hold off on that for now. So I'll hit perception and see what we can do.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you succeed despite fairly overwhelming odds against you. Yes, you spot the thing. This means that now anybody who wants to can attack it, but you see its sort of tentacled mass kind of like on the surface a little ways away. It looks like it's hiding amidst some vines and preparing to attack you. So who's going next? Kess or Gunner?
Gunner's still on his way, right? He's not fully over here. Or do you want to go for it?
If Gunner goes, Gunner can move in and engage the target now that Talra has point. Actually, Talra, do you want to point it out? I guess who's going next, and what do you say to them?
For me?
Yeah.
So this is Kess is going to. You're going to go next, Kess?
Well, you're deciding if you want to point out where thing is.
I got you. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to kind of make a motion down where it is. I'm going to say, target located. Gunner, do your thing.
Okay. So, Gunner, with Talra's help, you spot the tentacled mass of the Dianoga. Now you can go. So you can shoot at it, or you can run over and attack it with your sword, whatever you like.
I want to dash over to it and whip up my sword.
Okay. So to get from, you're at medium range from the Dianoga now. To be able to attack it, you need to be in engaged range. So to move from medium to short, it's one maneuver. From short to engaged is another maneuver. And then you have to draw your sword, which is a third maneuver. So you can go and get up in its face, but you won't be able to attack it, and it'll cost you two strain right now. You can move a little closer and then shoot it, or you can draw your weapon and approach more cautiously. It's entirely up to you. You just are at such a range now that you can't run up to it and melee attack in the same turn.
Sir, I worry that light may have alerted people to our position, so I'm going to move up to it, and so that in case they see us, at least they won't know my position, and I'll attack it soon enough. And I'm just going to stealth behind it.
Okay, so you want to approach it, you want to try to approach it stealthily and draw your weapon?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So it's gonna cost you two strain, so just increase your strain by two, because it's three maneuvers. And now I'm going to roll ability to proceed.
Is drawing my weapon
it's a maneuver,
and not attacking? Yeah. Can I draw my weapon and attack next turn without strain?
Yes. Yeah. You can just move and then draw and attack next
turn. Yeah, I'm just going to move then.
Do that? Okay. So you're going to run up to it, and we'll see if it notices you sneaking up this turn. So what's your stealth?
One.
But it's one trained, right? It's one yellow. Like, what kind of dye is it?
It's two green, or is that supposed to be blue?
That's green.
Two green, one yellow. That's supposed to be
blue? That's good. That's perfect. Yep.
It's two green, one yellow, one blue.
Right, because you get the... Okay, so it's not rolling... that's only when you roll it. It's two green and one yellow, which means two purple and one red for it to try to notice you. You're quite stealthy. Yeah, and I'll throw that in as a black for the talent that you have. So it's going to be pretty tricky for this thing to notice you. It only has one yellow and one green. So let's see what happens. No, the Dianoga does not notice you. Nice. And in fact, it gets disadvantaged for trying to. Like, its little eyeball pops up and it's like looking around. I think it's very focused on trying to grab Kess again and doesn't even see you approach. And so those threat... I can cause it some strain, and an opponent may perform a free maneuver in response to the check. So why don't you draw your sword? You can draw your sword for free, and it's gonna take two strain.
And grab it out from the bindings.
So the Dianoga maybe realizes now there's more prey than it thought, and is trying to figure out what it's gonna do. So its little eyeballs looking around, but you're behind it, approaching me. So you draw your vibro sword. So Kess, you can go. What do you want to do?
Well, I don't have my gun anymore, so is there a way for me to recover it? Because I think you said it was temporary.
Yeah.
So can I try and find my gun?
Yeah, basically all it does is it means you're going to have to use your action to like dig around in the mud to find it. Because it probably grabbed it, took a big bite out of it, and it was like, gross, this is a gun, and threw it away. So now you you can like... So Zed pulls you up, and you immediately kind of like dropped your knees, like digging around in the mud for your weapon.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so make a perception test and put two purple dice in your pool for difficulty to find your gun.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't find it, so you did, because you didn't get a success, but you do get one advantage die, so you can either pass that die along to whoever's going to go next, or you can recover a strain if you want to.
Okay.
So basically, the advantage die means that the thing would be distracted. It's like, oh, you're still in the water, are you? Hmm, delicious. And it'll like keep focusing on you, and that'll buy somebody else the opportunity to do something. Or you can just recover your strain because you're like, okay, my gun's still down there somewhere.
Right. I'll pass the advantage to the next person.
Okay, so the Dianoga is going to go, and then whoever goes next can take that advantage die. So let's see here. I think so. You're outside engage range because you haven't attacked it yet, Gunner. I think it's going to move. It's going to go for Kess. So it's going to use one action to move out from cover, and it's going to try and tentacle you again, Kess. So let's make a roll for the Dianoga. All right, clear that. It's got a difficulty of 2 to make a melee attack. And tentacles, away we go. Okay, so another hit, but with disadvantage. So with 2 disadvantage, it gives a free action to you, Kess, a free maneuver. Okay. But it does hit you. It doesn't manage to ensnare or knock you down, but it's going to deal some damage. So it deals 8 damage, minus your soak.
Okay, so... Got it.
So this time it bursts up out of the water and lashes out with one of its tentacles. The tentacle hits you and knocks you back, but doesn't wrap around you this time. And then what maneuver do you want to take? Because you get to do that. So you can you don't have any other weapons to draw, right?
Yeah.
You can disengage, basically. You could just move away from it so that it's not like fighting, it's not engaged with you anymore.
Right.
Probably the safest.
That's, yeah, because I don't have a weapon, so I'm pretty much useless in this fight right now. So I guess I'll just back off, yeah.
Okay, cool. So what does that look like? Do you do like a combat roll, or like it slaps you in the chest with a tentacle, tries to grab you? What do you do in response when you move? How does that look?
I dive off to the side to avoid being grabbed by the tentacle, and then do a kind of a backwards roll. To get out of range.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it hits you. Your health goes down a little. You dive roll out of the way, and now anybody can go. So who's gonna go now?
Okay, Talra is not. Go ahead, Z.
No, I'd love to go next, and you know.
Oh, go if you want to go first. You're close. I think you're closer. So go ahead.
Gunner's the closest to it. Gunner's like ready to pounce. But yeah, Zed, if you want to move in to engage it, you can too. Remember, whoever goes gets an extra blue die on their action because the thing is so focused on eating Kess.
All my guy's going to do is move between the monster and Kess. So you guys do what you want to do.
As far as where I'm at, okay. Never mind.
Gunner, do you want to go?
I would love to slash this thing to pieces.
Do it.
I think everyone would like it as well. You make some calamari out of this thing. Okay. All
right. So before I describe my action, what am I going to roll?
So you're going to roll. You're going to add to your pool. Normally you would add. Basically, every melee attack is against difficulty of 2 purple dice. But the Dianoga has a special ability called Adversary that upgrades the difficulty of combat checks against it. So you're going to roll 1 purple die and 1 red die when you attack the Dianoga. You're also going to add an extra blue die from Kess's advantage, and then you're going to roll your melee skill. So you're going to make sure in your pool you have 1 blue die, 1 purple, 1 red, and then just click, you'll click your weapon. So in the combat section, you can just click the little die in the middle of your vibro sword. And what's your brawn? I just want to make sure your weapon's damage is correct. Your brawn 3. Is 3, right? Okay, yep. Cool.
Was it too high?
It was too low. It's 2 okay. plus your brawn. Okay.
Oh,
so...
I see what you mean by damage. Okay. All right. So I'm assuming that I'm, you know, just a little bit higher up. from him. So I kind of step out of the shadows and I take a small step down and then I do like a spinning attack and I go for his little eye and I hope that it also cuts into him too, like the central mass of him. But it might be too far down, so I'm like going for meat.
Yeah, whatever you can see, and then trying to drive the blade down into the water. Okay, yeah. I'm actually gonna give you another. Let's roll. I'm gonna roll another advantage die for you, just because you attacked it from stealth. So let's give you one more. Okay, there you go. So you get a hit, and you get two advantage. So you deal 6 damage minus its soak. So let me put that on the diagnose sheet here. So. All right, so you do inflict a wound. Your vibro sword comes blazing in and hacks into one of its appendages. There's a spray of sort of purplish fluid from the creature. And now you can spend that advantage, you've got two of them, to do the normal stuff like recover strain or give an advantage to somebody else, or you can trigger the special abilities on your weapon if you have any. So a vibro sword, does it have any special qualities?
I think I wrote it down somewhere.
I got it here. Vibro sword.
One, pierce two, vicious one.
There you go. Okay. So what was the first one?
Defensive one, pierce two.
So you can use it to defend yourself in melee. So that's useful when this thing counterattacks. Pierces two, you said?
Yep.
Okay, so it actually pierces through its soak. So pierce means that you would get to ignore some of the armor that it has. So piercing ignores 1 point of soak for each rating of pierce, so you deal extra damage. You cut through its rubbery hide, so it's going to take another damage. And then vicious was the other one?
Yeah, vicious one.
Okay, so vicious is if you get a crit, you deal more damage with it. The other thing you can do, you'll notice you have two advantages. You have next to nothing to spend it on. Do you want to make this a critical hit?
Yeah, I think that would be good, actually.
Good call. Okay, so the way crits work is basically you deal normal damage all the way up to something's wound threshold, and then every hit above that is a critical hit. But if you get enough advantage to trigger the critical condition on your weapon, which is 2 in this case, it just automatically does a critical hit. So you get to roll on the critical hit table. So can you roll percentile dice? So just type in roll 20 slash roll and then D100 plus 6. Okay, so what'd you get? 94. All right, so a 94 critical hit is a good. The higher, the better. 94 on the critical hit table is at the brink until healed, suffer 1 strain each time you perform an action. So you've cut into one of the Dianoga's like arteries or something, and one of its tentacles is spraying this purple goo everywhere. And it probably sprays across your face. And now whenever it does anything, if it attacks, if it moves, whatever its actions are, it's going to take strain until it passes out from blood loss, basically. So you did a good job.
I'm very amazed by this. Like, my brows are just slightly furrowed, and I'm just focused on finishing it off.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so 3 more PCs can go. Anybody can go next.
I'd love to. I'm ready to go.
Okay. You want to get in there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to charge on in there and see, like, when you say like orders, like she goes first, like do I see her do this, all this stuff?
Yeah. You see him. Gunner runs in, does the little leap over the log, drops out of the shadows, and then takes a swing with the sword.
Okay,
you see all that happen.
Has Zed been confusing Gunner for being female? Because that is totally something that could happen, you know.
Oh, Gunner's male.
These meat bags and their genders.
No. I'm looking at the little icon, and it's like it looks like a blonde woman.
Yeah.
That's what Zed sees it as. I'll just.
Gunner identifies as male, but yes, looks effeminate. I think.
Okay. Cool. I'll just say Gunner from now on then.
before we move on to your action, I forgot that your weapon is vicious, so that 94 is actually 104. Let me update the results. You did a worse or a, like more severe critical hit.
What is
about
means I always get 100, or it means I get
plus? It means you always get 10 higher. Oh, okay, here we go. So limb crippled until healed or replaced. Increased difficulty of all checks that use that limb by one difficulty. So because you got a... I know you got 104. So yeah, maimed, limb permanently lost. So yeah, you nice. Hack off one of its tentacles. So I'm going to reduce its linked ability down by one. That's much better. Because basically what happens is it's got one tentacle weapon, but I can attack with a bunch of them if I get advantage. Now you've cut off one tentacle. It only has 5 instead of the 6 that it had before.
Okay.
Wicked. You could take it as a trophy if you want. Your very own Dianoga tentacle.
Okay, I tell the team it's okay. I've had a lot of training against these.
All right. Zed, you want to try to jump in and help?
Absolutely.
All right.
And also, like, the resolution on my Roll20 map is just garbage. So I can't, like, they're, like, more blobs than anything else. Here we
you
go.
You can zoom in. There's a little zoomer thing on the top right corner.
Right, but when I zoom out, it's so pixelated, it's ridiculous. Because I want to see the whole thing. Like, you're looking at right now, like, the way it looks, like, down below us right here. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near that resolution when I'm that far out. I don't know what's going on.
Huh. Okay.
Weird.
Anyways. So
get him with your torch.
I run in, like use my maneuver to run in and use my action to start slicing. Okay. And as I'm doing that, I kind of I turn my head over to Gunner.
Well struck, sir. Nice. I hope I can lend you as well.
Awesome. So for the difficulty of your roll, add in one purple and one red die to your dice pool. Okay. And then click the d20 that's in between critical and encumbrance on your fusion cutter. And that'll give us all the information we need right in the roll.
You said one purple and one red?
One purple, one red, yep.
Okay, one purple, one red.
And now then... Yeah, and then you can click that d20 right in the middle. Okay. All right, so you hit it, and you get to deal your damage, but I get 3 threat to spend.
Okay.
So, you come over, and you describe the hit part, and then I'll describe the negative consequences of the threat.
I didn't know the special comes up there, so I should put the special in there, because this has breach 1, burn 3, sunder 3, vicious 3.
Yeah, copy it over from features into special, and it'll pop up for you for next time.
That's what
Now you can't activate any of those because you don't have any advantage. But
right, sure. I'm just saying.
Fusion cutter, you just jam it into the thing, and yeah. How does that attack look? How does Zed attack?
Oh, it's my left hand. That's right.
How does he attack with his fusion torch?
I'm looking to sever things. Like it's good for cutting. So sure. I'm looking to grab something with my right and cut it off with my left.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So I can't disarm you, but I can knock you prone. So what happens, I think, is that you grab it with one hand and hack into a tentacle with the other. And how much damage do you deal? You deal 5, 6, 7, 8. So when calculating damage, it's the amount of damage listed there in numbers plus the number of success explosions that you get.
Okay, so 8. Got it.
8 damage to it. It's good. It's a good hit. So minus its soak. So you hack into one of the tentacles, and I think that causes it to recoil, and the tentacle you have wrapped around your other arm pulls you down into the water. Now, you don't get pulled under. You're not tangled up in the tentacle, but you get knocked off your feet, and there's a big splash of muddy water, and you're on your butt.
Okay.
So, Kes and Talra, who wants to go next?
I can go next, if that works.
Okay.
All right, so for my maneuver... I'm going to step between the, how do you say it?
It's a Dianoga.
Dianoga. I'm going to step between that to make sure that if it moves forward to try to attack Kes, like there's no way it can get around me. And okay. I'm just going to look right down my sight and blast it with my fusion blaster.
Okay. All right. So you're at short range. Now this happened in the last game too. So I want to qualify shooting into a brawl, into a melee, is slightly more difficult. And if you miss, or if you hit but you get a critical miss, you might hit Zed or Gunner. So just so you know the risk on this shot. So you close one eye and you're trying to line up the shot, and Gunner and Zed are kind of in the way, and as the creature is moving around. Do you still want to take the shot?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, good.
Good luck, guys.
Perfect. Okay, so the difficulty for this roll, you're going to add, let's see, we're going to add one purple because you're at short range. Mm-hmm. And then you upgrade the difficulty by one. So it is one, you're rolling one red die.
So one red, one purple?
Just one. Add one red die to the pool. No other okay. dice, and then make your light blaster roll from your weapon.
And it'll... All right, and I just click the d20 on the weapon.
Yeah, click the d20 on the weapon. It'll grab your light blaster skill from your character. There you go. Nice shot. Okay. Wow, you're really good with light blasters.
Kind of a specialist.
Yeah. So so this is no big deal. Shooting into a melee, you've done this a million times. You just like close your eye, count it out, and then fire at the Dianoga. You hit, you deal it 5, 6, 7 damage. And you have one advantage. The blaster has no special abilities. So do you want to recover a strain, or do you want to give Kes a bonus die to try to find her gun?
I don't have any strain, so I'll give that to Kes.
Perfect. All right, Kes, so you'll get an extra die there. So Talra, you did 7 more damage to it. Okay, it makes a high-pitched screeching noise as it flails its tentacles around in pain. And Kes, you can go. Do you want to try to grab that gun?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So perception check again. What was the difficulty I gave you on that one before? 2?
2 purple, okay. Yeah.
Yep, 2 purple. You add one additional blue die and then roll your perception.
Okay.
Poor Kes, you'll never get that gun back. Like, you're just like flailing around, and I think your hand, like you hit on something, and you yank it up out of the water, getting ready to shoot, and you're holding like a rock. And like it's down there somewhere, but you just can't find it. You can use those 2 advantage in the same way. You can pass one along, or you can reduce 2 strain.
Well,
or
I have...
one in one, right? One strain pass along one.
Okay. I'll do one in one. So I'll reduce 1 strain and then pass on 1.
All right. So the Dianoga is going to attack. Gosh, who should attack? It's pretty mad about getting its tentacle chopped off. Well, Gunner, it's...
I might have pissed it off more. Actually, you know what? Never mind. I'll wait till my turn, and then we'll just...
You got knocked on your butt, so it actually will attack you because it'll be able to hit harder because you're prone. Sure. So it's gonna gain an advantage to hit you. All right, so it's gonna flail away at this thing. And the thing is, like a fusion cutter, even if your arm is underwater, it's like boiling the water. Like it doesn't go out. So there's this like column of steam rising from the water, and it's all like boiling around you. And the Dianoga just like wraps its tentacles around you to try to like crush you and break your shell and get it what you know, obviously the soft meat on the inside.
Oh, so my tubes and wires.
Exactly. Delicious tubes. So difficulty is 2. It gets an advantage die to hit you, and it's going to make its athletics test against you. Or it's a melee, rather. Same dice. Let's see what happens. All right. So it hits. I should have rolled that off the weapon, but it hits and it deals 5, 6, 7 damage minus your soak.
So 3 soak.
Okay. All right. So you take, 4 damage.
Okay.
And, I've got 2 advantage and I'm going to ensnare you. So, you are wrapped up in the tentacles. So it just like whips all the tentacles around you and starts to squeeze you. And you can hear your chassis like denting and bending as it like starts to crush you.
Its
tendrils. So anybody can go next. Doesn't matter who.
Just as a thing, I saw it in the chat, so I looked it up because I don't want to, you know, blurt out some shit that's bullshit. But sure. On my the breach thing is a passive thing, so I don't have to activate it.
Oh, cool. Okay. So what
and
is
it breach? Ignores 10 points of soak.
Oh shit. Okay. So you deal
one rating. So I have one rating in breach and it ignores
that's awesome.
1 point of armor and 10 points of soak.
Perfect. So that's it doesn't apply at soak at all. So it just takes another 4 damage.
Okay.
Cool. It's really badly beaten up then. the water is all like purple and black with its goopy blood. Cool. Thanks for looking that up. Okay, so who's gonna go now?
Well, I'm itching to go. I don't get an advantage dice though, right?
Yeah, you do. I do? It's whoever, whatever player goes next.
All right. Well, how far into the water am I? You said it was shallow and it was using tunnels.
It popped up probably out of an underground tunnel, but you can assume you can move around safely at like knee or waist depth water.
Okay, so is it? Its back isn't turned to me or anything, is it?
It doesn't really have a back. It's like a flying spaghetti monster. It's just like made up of tentacles and eyeballs. So it's there isn't really. There's no back for you to find.
Well, just for flavor, or maybe it'll be confused by this, I jump to the side quickly, and then I drive my sword into it, straight into it.
Okay, cool. So you leap sideways and then take an attack. Okay, so one purple, one red, and then add a blue to your pool, and then roll your weapon as usual. Let's see. Holy shit.
Yeah, that looked good.
That is like a monster crit. There is one more red die, so I'll just roll that on its own. So it should have been one purple, one red, but those triumphs are awesome. Okay, so two disadvantage, cancel out one advantage. So you take one strain, but you double crit the thing. So you deal, let's take a look. You deal it 5, 6, 7, 8 damage, plus... You get to roll on the crit table, or 8, 9, 10 damage, rather, because you get two of those triumphs. And a triumph allows you to take a look. You can spend one to upgrade the difficulty of his next check, do something vital, upgrade any allied character's next check. Cool, so you get one crit and some other bonus to pass along to somebody else. I assume you want to activate a critical injury, right?
Oh, of course.
You want to do that? Okay. All right. So go ahead and roll a D100 again and add, remember, 10 this time plus the damage you dealt. So add 20, D100 plus 20. Okay, so you have 54. So this crit is... fearsome wound. The difficulty of all presence and willpower checks is increased, so it's afraid of you now. I think it's going to try and run on its turn if it survives. So, oh yeah, it's 44 because it's plus 10 for the damage and then 10 for the weapon. So let me double check that. Thanks, disembodied imperial math checker. Cool, bowled over, so knocked prone. So the thing is just like flailing, and like you do hit its underbelly, like you flip it over, and it's like flailing its tentacles around. It's gonna need to right itself as a maneuver next turn if it survives. So it takes 10 damage. I think you killed it. Yeah, you totally killed it. You murdered this thing.
Thank God.
So yeah, you shove your sword into the water. There's a spray, like a pneumatic gout of blood, and then when you pull it out, the tentacles just kind of like flap and then go limp and like sink into the water. And Zed, you feel the tentacle like unwind from you and disappear. And I think that Kes, this at this moment, like you've been kind of like down looking at the water, digging around. This is when you find your gun and you like pop up out of the water, and Gunnar is just like standing there with its sword, like his sword stuck in the ground.
It out of the ground.
Yeah, you yank it out.
Okay, when I yank it out, I don't even brush it off. Right, my and I immediately say, "Commander, if anyone's in that building, they would have been alerted to us."
Are you injured, Sergeant?
I'm a little hurt, but I think I'll be okay.
So I'm assuming at this point our focus is right back on the building.
Could be, certainly.
Okay.
We need to move back into position and figure out what's going on here.
At that point, I'm going to kind of crouch down and kind of point back at the building.
Okay.
I moved back where I was hiding.
Yeah, so you want to try to... Basically, you all want to try to like find somewhere to hide in case all that blaster fire attracts someone's attention? Okay, perfect. All right, everybody make a stealth roll then. Difficulty.
So how many blaster fires were there? Just the one from the commander, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's mine.
One blaster shot. Light.
Okay. And we're. I'm sorry. Did you say move back or what did you say, Captain?
Right now, we're just kind of planning on moving back to the building, but before we do anything, we're all kind of buckling down and making sure that no one's approaching us. We're making sure that the sounds of the fight didn't attract anyone.
Mm. Comm scan commencing.
Awesome. So you want to check your scanner?
Yeah. My eyeball, there's, like,
there's definitely some chatter, like, inside there, they're like, I heard something outside, and someone's like, well, send someone to check on it, and then they're arguing about who's gonna go look, but they've definitely, like, they've heard something, and you probably have, like, a minute to find somewhere to hide before they decide who draws the short straw and goes to check it out.
All right, I'm gonna look at everyone. Get into cover now.
They are on their way, Commander.
We need to find cover.
And at that point, I'm looking around for anything that we can get to and letting everyone else know we need to get into cover and buckling down, trying to break the line of sight on the building.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess you have two options, right? You can like run for it, in which case you'll definitely be out of sight, but you won't be able to see the building either. Or you can all kind of scramble for cover, in which case you'll make stealth rolls, and then I'll roll to... I'll make a perception roll to see if they spot you.
I'm thinking ambush. What about you guys?
I have like half health right now, just as an FYI. But I'd be down.
There's a chance I could ambush them on my own, Commander.
Move up and engage at your leisure.
Okay, so the other three, you're gonna hide, and you're gonna send Gunner up to, like, you, where do you want to be, Gunner? There's basically like there's a set of doors like that open sideways, and they'll open, and the people will come out from there. There isn't really anything to hide behind immediately next to the door, but there is some space around the door. The door isn't just like flush with the wall. There's like a little indent area, so like the front of it is shaped kind of like this. Like the wall comes in. And then the door is here. So they'll come running out that way.
There isn't like a convenient bush, like...
I mean, there's... Yeah, like, it depends on how close you want to be, right?
You know what? I think I could hide there.
Okay, so you want to stand... Like, you can be out in the open next to the door, or you can hide in a nearby, like, next to a nearby log or something if you want.
Well, I want to hide in the indentations, like when they come out of the building, and behind them, and then...
Right, so they run past you, and then you're there to jump on them. Okay. Cool. All right, well, like, let's set engaged range as the building, so you're, like, engaged with the front door of the building, and then how far away do the other three of you want to be? You can set yourself at whatever range increment you like.
Awaiting your command, Sergeant.
Can I find, like a tree to take shots from behind?
Yeah, yeah,
you're looking for... Are there trees nearby?
Yeah, there's tons of advantageous cover for sure. Okay. So yeah, so you can do that. You put yourself at whatever range, but we'll let you make a stealth roll to find cover.
Okay. Sure. So Gunner is right at the front door of the building. How far does the blaster pistol fire?
It should say a range on it. I think it's probably short range. Let's take a look at your sheet. Medium.
This is medium, yeah.
Okay, up to medium.
So I'll be at medium range.
Okay. And then Talra and Zed, where are you two?
I'm going to be between Gunner and Kes, making sure that, you know, I'd be seen before Kes in case that happens.
I'm going to be taking shots, though, toward the front door. So you might be...
I will be
in
directly
me.
In the line of sight.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll be kind of off to the side a little bit.
Okay.
It's like down there.
Okay.
Also with my blaster trained on the door.
Okay. Yeah, if we imagine the base to be kind of like in this vicinity, you know, it's pretty big, but that's kind of how it is. And there's just garbage and like debris and stuff everywhere else. Okay, Zed, where are you at?
Shall I go with you, Sergeant? Or back up?
So Zed only has like melee abilities, right?
No, I have a blaster too.
You have a blaster too? Okay.
Yeah, the cutter on this, on underneath this arm, and the blaster underneath this arm.
Okay, great. Zed, can I... Zed, flank from the other side, medium range.
Affirmative.
Okay. So anyone who wants to stay hidden, make a stealth test against. Let me see how perceptive these nerf herders are. You're looking at a difficulty of 2 purple dice. So everybody make a 2 difficulty stealth test. You can, there you go. Look at that. So much stealthing.
If I roll this and I get a shitty roll, I'm quitting. God damn it.
So take a strain, Jess. Take a strain.
I hate everything right now. It sucks.
Gunner, right. You got so Gunner, you rolled yours without any difficulty. Can you re-roll yours with 2 purple dice, and then Zed make yours too. Perfect.
Is there
okay.
Anything we can do, like with our advantage, to help counter Kess's?
No, because you're all doing it at once. So the thing is, it kind of narratively advantages Gunner because they're going to come out and they're going to see Kess, right? So here's what happens. You all hunker down and get ready. I think there's probably, there probably isn't enough time for you. No, you know what? Fuck it. So Kess, you do have enough time to take an aim action if you want to.
Okay.
So you're just like aimed at the door.
Yeah.
Now you have a special, aim ability, right?
I have true aim.
Any right. Talents? Okay.
And so debilitating shot.
Yeah, so true aim for you. You can perform your true aim maneuver. So you get the benefits of aiming and upgrade the combat check. So as soon as someone pops out of here, you can take a much clearer shot at them.
Okay.
And then Gunner, you're pressed up against the wall, vibro sword at the ready, and you hear the door start to open. So it like clicks, opens a little ways, gets stuck, and then you hear inside kind of high pitched like nasally voice be like Ichuta, and then someone like hits the door a bunch of times, and then it finally like sparks come pouring out of the top of it, and it pulls the rest of the way and kind of like grinds one door open, and then a kind of scrappy looking like short. Rodian comes out. For people who don't know what a Rodian is, it's the green Greedo looking dude. It's the little snout and the big black eyes. So he comes out and he's wearing just like fatigues, basically, like a gray outfit with a little like pilot's vest, and he's got a blaster pistol in his hand. And he steps out and he sees you, Cass, pointing the gun at him. And he kind of like startles and like steps back. What is everybody doing? Gunner, you and Kess are both ready to pounce.
If we say something on comms, is it just them that hears it, or does everyone like in a near vicinity hear it?
You're saying it out loud, so they might be able to hear you. There's a lot of jungle noise happening around, so.
Right, but I'm saying like if I said something to Gunner, would. Mm-hmm.
Would he hear it coming out of Gunner's calm? Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know why Star Wars is like this, but it just is. Comms are like essentially like walkie talkies. Like you don't have in ear comms or like any of that. Right, if you have, they're built into helmets. Like the stormtroopers have them built in their helmets, but you guys have comm links. So whatever you say is just noise that comes out of Gunner's calm.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I was going to say something to the team, but if that dude's going to hear it, I'm not saying.
Did we see the reaction of this guy? Is he like startled? Is he pissed?
He sees Kess pointing a blaster pistol at him and just like he basically
Do they
he's
have
like
guns.
The conversation, he's got a blaster pistol in his hand. The conversation in the base, Zed, you heard, was like, I heard a blaster outside, and someone's like, "You're always hearing blasters." And the other guy was like, "Go look. I don't want to look. You look. Fine." And then somebody got up and went to look, and he sees it. And in his little, Rodian brain, he's like, "I knew I heard blasters." And then,
okay,
someone blasters him. Or do you, Kess? Do you take the shot, or do you wait and let Gunner take a swing?
Can I recognize if it's a good guy or a bad guy?
I mean, how can one tell if someone is good or bad, really? I mean, it's someone, he's not dressed as a Republic trooper. He's also not wearing like stormtrooper gear. So it's unclear, I think. Now, if you want to use your action to make a perception check, I can tell you a little bit more about him. But at an immediate glance, you're like, it's a Rodian with a gun.
Maybe you could grab him. Could we like hold him hostage?
Yeah, you could try to grapple him. I mean, Kes, you got a perfect shot. You could probably kill him right now if you just pull the trigger.
We don't even know who he is.
Can
I point out your blaster pistol does have a stun setting?
Okay.
There's a little button right next to your thumb. You can just go click and hit him with the big blue blast instead of a blaster.
Right, I forgot they have stun. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Commander. Engage with stun.
Engage.
Permission to stun.
Is that good?
No. Permission to stun. Okay. So, yeah, I want to try and stun him.
Okay.
And because he doesn't see Gunner at all, right? So she still has...
No. Yeah, even if you miss, he can... Yeah, right. Gunner can
grab him. But so, kill him. So should we roll to see who gets there first? Or, I mean, if I hear stun on comms, then I won't, but...
Right.
Yeah, that's like, what Kes said. Yeah, I'm going to stun him. Okay, so Kes, you get to make your shot. You've been aiming, so you get your upgrade, your upgrade on the shot. So the difficulty for this is going to be two purple dice.
I'm gonna miss this.
It's funny because every time I want to use dark side points to screw you over, I'm like, you've already failed so many times.
Yeah,
you know. So.
Okay, so just the two purple die and that's it? What about the true aim thing?
Yeah, so true aim, so you get your two purple dice. For true aim, you can you see where it says upgrade, downgrade on your side, on the left? Put one upgrade on the left and one blue die for aiming.
All right, it doesn't matter, I'm going to miss it.
Under your weapon, just click the D20. And basically what it does is it deals damage as strain instead of harm.
Combat. Okay. The D20 at the top, right above the blaster.
Yeah, the D20 right in between. Yeah, you got it. Nice. You hit and you crit him. And yes, he is just a lowly minion. So it's a perfect shot. It's like exactly like you fire the shot. You like flip the safety, fire the shot. We get that big blue kind of like wobbly arc thing that blaster pistols shoot when they do stun. It hits him. He flashes blue for a second. And if he had pupils, his eyes would roll back in his head. But he doesn't. And he falls back and like right into Gunner's arms, like just silently like flops down. And you catch him. Now you can use that advantage to clear a strain if you want.
Because
there's no point in triggering a crit with that attack because it's one hit will just knock him out because he's a minion. You can spend that that triumph for something else. So you can spend it for, let's see, he's already out. So you could do something vital, which I don't think in this case you need to necessarily. You could actually, you know what? Let's do that. So with the crit, if you want to, you can spend it to have total silence. Like no one inside will know that you knocked this guy out. You'll have lots of time before they notice he's missing.
Let's do that.
Yeah, that makes sense for the crit.
Because then we can just drag him off to the side and then get ready for. Do we know how many people are inside? Because we definitely heard more than one person talking. So yes.
No, I don't think you know yet.
We don't know if he was talking to the orbit though. Because the stuff we heard before was between the ground and the orbit. So whoever the other person on the comms may have been somewhere else.
That's true.
You can reduce.
Oh, but wait, but they were arguing on the check.
They were arguing, yeah.
Someone else was there.
There's definitely more people inside. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Gunner, you have this unconscious Rodian like in your arms. He smells like swamp gas.
How long does that stun work for, Adam?
Talking
minutes or hours?
I mean, basically forever at this point. He's unconscious. It's not going to be like seconds. With someone who maybe had like more mental fortitude, there'd be more time, but this guy's literally an extra. He's a nobody. So he's unconscious as long as you need him to be. If you leave him alone or whatever, maybe the next scene he'll be awake, but for now he's totally out.
I drag him off to the side and then I start looking for identification.
Okay. And I'm patting him down. Okay. So he's got, in his pockets, he's wearing like cargo pants basically. And so in one pocket you find a metal container with like a couple of death sticks in it. You find his comm link. He's got his pistol, obviously. You find an old like Imperial code cylinder in one of his pockets. and then like just some other miscellaneous, like some credits and other junk. He's got a patch sewn onto one arm of his jumpsuit that has a like a black. It's like a black circle with like little wavy lines coming off. It looks kind of like a stylized sun. Probably indicating something about, but either it was already sewn on and he stole the suit and put it on, or he put it on and it tells you something about him.
What was the Imperial thing in his pocket that I found?
Oh, it's a code cylinder. So like, you know how in, you see the Imperial officers with the little like silver things in their front pocket. Those are code cylinders. They're like rank cylinders. You take them out and you put them in a computer to verify your identity.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's just got one of those. It's a little rusty.
Using skullduggery, because I have that skill and I want to say that word. I That's how it's a verb, right?
To skullduggery?
Yeah, I skullduggery that thing and the and his comms.
Okay. So to be clear, because not everyone is familiar with skullduggery as you are. So skullduggery allows you to pick locks and pick pockets, escape from a cell, navigate away from security elements, identify vulnerable aspects of a security scheme. I mean, you could make a skullduggery test to learn about like how those code cylinders might work if you want to. But otherwise, if you just want to take them, they're yours. You don't have to roll. You skullduggery for free.
Sure, why not? I think it's just a career, and it might not... No, it shouldn't be a career. I think it's a skill. No, it might be... I don't know. I'm looking for it.
Okay, so you have those items in your inventory. Talra, is everybody going to run up? Are you commanding, like, a move, or...?
Now, at this point, I'm going to get on comms, because I'm assuming I'm not close enough quite to talk to her, and I'm going to go...
Gunner, do you hear anything inside the building?
Do I?
Well, you're busy you're skullduggering your equipment, so you're like looking at these code cylinders. So the cylinder, depending on when it was obtained, they tend to rotate the codes. This looks like a low-level Imperial officer's code cylinder. It might give you access to communication equipment or, like, it might open some, like, equipment shed somewhere. It was obviously stolen off of an Imperial officer, but hanging onto it is useful. It might, if the code's still good, it might give you access to something later on. Make sure you note it on your character sheet.
Okay. Well, I stand up and I look into the doors and see what I see.
Okay. So inside, you see a sort of semi-flooded corridor. There's a long path that leads back into the building, and there's like water dripping down from the ceiling in a bunch of places, and vines have broken up the duracrete, the like sci-fi concrete, in a bunch of places. So there's like vines kind of growing through the building. It's warm and it's moist inside.
Sir, I don't see anyone at the moment, but I have the man on the back, so I'll know when they start coming to look for him.
Scanning, Commander.
Okay, so I'm going to... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, what do you want to do, Zed? Do you have a particular action you want
to
take?
Yeah, the comms again to see if they're like, you know, where the fuck is dude man? He's been gone or whatever.
Okay, yeah. So you listen. Let me get a Rodian name here. What's this guy's name? All right, Rodian. Thank God for name generators. Okay, so this guy's name is Chris. his name is Chris. I love name. Chris. His name is Chris Bonk. Chris is. They're like. They sent Mr. Bonk out to find you. So Chris went out there to look, but. they don't seem too concerned that he's gone. They're like, he'll make his way back here eventually. Okay. I can write that down.
So they heard the far away blaster and sent a guy, and then they sent a dude and heard another blaster, and now they're just like,
No. Kess
stun doesn't make the same sound.
Well, Kess was so good at the shot and whatever that he didn't have time to react. There was just like a blast and down he went. So they don't even know he's been shot. They're like, he's outside. Maybe Dianoga got him.
All right. In that case, I think it's ready for us to move in.
So I'm not getting anything on the.
Yeah, I mean, you get that conversation, right? Where they've moved on to talk about something else. They're arguing about how like one of them owes the other one credits for a SABAC game that they played last night, and the other guy's like, I don't remember that. It doesn't count if you're drunk. And so they're just having like an idle conversation. Okay,
they are not alert, Commander. This might be the proper time to enter.
All right, so I'm going to do the motion to move forward.
Gunner, okay. Keep a close watch for coming up.
Of course, okay. Sir.
All right, so everybody's going to move up towards the entrance? Cool. Okay, all right. So maybe that's probably a good time for our next break. So as you all kind of hunker down and move quickly up towards the entrance, we fade out to break.
Yeah, and let me forget that I'm going to look at the patch and do a knowledge or intelligence check on whatever.
Yes, yeah, we can start with that for sure. Cool. So maybe you approach the body at the end of the break. Cool. Okay. Cool. So stick around. More balance of power right after this.